We'll be doing a brief meditation tonight. Again, our theme this year as an assembly is on prayer. Prayer works. And tonight we'd like to see a picture of that in Exodus chapter 30. First in verse 1, we read the instructions that the Lord, Jehovah, gave to Moses regarding one of the pieces of furniture in the tabernacle there in the wilderness. You shall make an altar to burn incense on. You shall make it of acacia wood. The golden altar of incense, to be contrasted for our purposes with the bronze altar outside of the tabernacle, on which animals and grain and wine were sacrificed. That was not the case with the golden altar of incense, the closest piece of furniture to the holy place, the Holy of Holies, without being in the Holy of Holies. This is an artist's picture of what that golden altar of incense may have looked like. You see there the veil. Behind that veil, of course, the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat. And you see the smoke rising, the incense rising, and that's what we'd like to think about briefly tonight. Before we get started here in Exodus 30, just a couple of other passages that tie in with this. David prayed in Psalm 141, "Lord, I cry out to you, make haste to me. Give ear to my voice when I cry out to you. Let my prayer be set before you as incense, the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice." David associating his prayer to the Lord as the rising of the incense there in the holy place. In the book of Luke, we're familiar with the story of Zacharias and how he found out that his wife Elizabeth, who was barren in her old age, was going to have a baby. And we read there in the context of that, that the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. And then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. When we look into heaven in the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ, in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 8, we read of the Lamb who had been found worthy, the only one worthy to take the scroll. And we read that when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. We could go on and read of that new song that they sang, a song of prayer and praise and worship to the Lord, the Lamb. And in Revelation chapter 8, we read that another angel having a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hands. Incense rising. Back in Exodus, I would like for us just to very briefly notice three descriptions of this incense rising and just consider how they may apply to the rising incense of our own prayers, both privately and corporately. Here in chapter 30 of Exodus, go down to verse 7, we read concerning that incense, "Aaron shall burn on it sweet incense every morning when he tends the lamps, he shall burn incense on it." There in verse 7, what I want us to notice is that that incense that was to be burned before the Lord was a sweet incense. It makes me wonder what would make the rising incense of my prayers sweet. Of course, we understand that the sweetness of the aroma is determined by the recipient, not by the offerer. It's not whether or not we think it's sweet, but it's whether the Lord considers it sweet. In Leviticus chapter 4 and verse 7, we read of the altar of sweet incense before the Lord. Before the Lord. That's its position and that's its purpose, that sweet incense might rise to Him. We know that incense, perfume, as we read in Proverbs 27:9, can delight our hearts too, and hopefully it will be like that with our prayers. But just as, humanly speaking, sometimes you may like one perfume and another person may not like that perfume, what matters is the one who's receiving that. And of course, with the Lord, it's not the physical or chemical odor of the incense that causes it to be sweet to God. We could think of a number of things that would make it sweet. Some we'll see later in the passage. But I just want to mention that something that I believe made it sweet to God and makes our prayers sweet to God are the obedience, the desire, and the faith of the one who offers the incense. When God says, Moses, here's what I want you to offer, and Moses is obedient, that pleases God. When Moses has a desire to come before the Lord and offer that, and when Aaron, as the high priest, takes that role and goes on and his sons after him, that pleases God. When we exercise faith in God and we come to Him in prayer, He is pleased. I believe it is sweet to Him because these things express a confidence in God, a confidence that God exists, a confidence that God cares, a confidence that God hears, a confidence that God has the ability and the knowledge needed to respond to and to answer our prayers. I would suggest that your confidence in prayer, not your confidence in prayer, but your confidence in God expressed in prayer, is sweet to God's heart. Secondly, in verse 8, we see another adjective describing the incense there. And we read that, and when Aaron lights the lamps at twilight, he did it in the morning, we see in verse 7, he did it in the evening, verse 8, he shall burn incense on it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generation. So the second description we have here is that the incense that was to rise was perpetual, continuing or enduring forever. In the case of the literal incense, it was every morning and every evening. The thought there is that our prayers should be continuing. They should be regular. They should be consistent. We're very familiar with 1 Thessalonians 5:17. In fact, our brother Dave reminded us of that Sunday night in our open sharing time. He reminded us of 16 and 18 also. But there in verse 17, that charge for us to pray without ceasing. In 1 Samuel 12:23, Samuel told the people of Israel who asked him to pray for them, he said, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. His prayers for them were without ceasing. Paul expressed the same thing as he wrote to the Roman believers and told them that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. The same as he wrote to the Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 16 of that letter. I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. A brother told me recently, I thought it was a good picture of this continuousness of prayer, this praying without ceasing, because obviously we have to do other things besides pray, and we recognize that we're in that attitude of prayer. But he likened it to a line of power poles. And if you looked, you might say, those power poles are unceasing. I can't see the end. And we know that they end somewhere. But the point is, there's not one pole right up against another, is it? But we still would say that's a continuous line of poles. And he said, you know, our prayers are like that. We have that focused, intentional time, and we pray. And then we may have to do some other things, but then there's that next continuous time, and we're praying just as that priest would come in the morning and as he trimmed the lamps and made sure the light was appropriate, the oil was there, he would also go and burn that incense. You know, my continuance in prayer is pleasing to God because it's time in His presence. Whether it's a brief prayer as I drive down the road, whether it's an emergency calling out to God, or whether it's a time of deep longing before Him and expressing my heart, He's pleased. And then, thirdly, in verse 9, we see that this incense rising was a non-strange, I'm going to call it incense. You'll see why. You shall not offer strange incense on it, or a burnt offering, or a grain offering, nor shall you offer pour a drink offering on it. No strange incense. The word strange, that is from the Hebrew, the word used there is a root word, but it has the thought of not, or of turning aside. Actually, the word strange has this thought of turning aside. So you've got the right thing, the right way, and then you've got what turns away from that, and that is what is strange. Whether, as we read in Proverbs, in the King James, of the strange woman, Nadab and Abihu offering a strange fire before the Lord. It's something that is not what it should be. In this case, it was a following of the wrong recipe. We're not to turn aside from God's design when we come to Him in prayer. There were four ingredients. If you look down in verse 34, you'll see that Moses was to take sweet spices, stacte and onycha and galbanum, and pure frankincense with these sweet spices. There shall be equal amounts of each. And they were to take those four ingredients. Three of them came from different trees. It was almost like the sap or the juice out of the tree that would have an odor, a fragrance. The other seems to be actually from a certain part of the shell of a shellfish. And they would take those and they would get them into a solid form, and then they would crush them down to powder, and they would take an equal part of each four and they would mix those together. I think about our prayers, and I think about that little acrostic ACTS, A-C-T-S. We won't spend a lot of time here, but I think about that idea of adoration, of worshiping God in prayer. Exodus 15:11, a prayer of worship. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? A prayer offering worship directly to God. And then, of course, there's that aspect of our prayers which would include confession. In 2 Samuel 24 and verse 10, David's heart condemned him after he numbered the people. And so David said to the Lord, here's his prayer, I have sinned greatly in what I have done. But now I pray, O Lord, take away the iniquity of your servant, for I have done very foolishly. Confession. And then there's thanksgiving. Philippians 4:6 tells us to be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. So we come to God, and in that, one of the ingredients of our incense rising is thanksgiving. And then that last letter of the acrostic S is supplication. And we can conclude that Philippians 4:6, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. I think what strikes me here particularly is that the picture of the equal amounts, and I'm definitely, we can't lay this down as law. They were under law, we're under grace. But that picture is beautiful, that as we come to God in prayer, not that every prayer must be divided into 25%, for each of these, but rather that overall the sense of our prayer life should include that worship, should include confession, should include thanksgiving, as well as what we often think of in prayer, that of supplication. You know, I believe that our content in prayer is submission to the will of God. He has shown us in the Scripture that these are aspects of our prayers. So what about you? What about me? Do these three descriptions of prayer, sweet, perpetual, and non-strange, We might remember the letter C, confidence, continuance, and content. Do they characterize the rising incense of our prayer to God? Just want to close. You don't have to turn. It's in our black hymnal. I have the words here. Number 123, the holiest we enter. The second verse, you'll remember it. Much incense is ascending. Before the eternal throne, God graciously is bending to hear each feeble groan. To all our prayers and praises, Christ adds His sweet perfume, and love the censer raises these odors to consume. Let's pray. Father, thank You so much for the privilege of prayer. Thank You for our local assembly's commitment to prayer, not only during this year, but we thank You for the focus this year. But Lord, we thank You for the 75 plus years of this assembly and how prayer has been so vital. And Father, we desire that that would continue. We come and we confess that at times we individually and corporately have not and do not take as seriously as we should the value and the essential nature of communication with You. Father, we confess that sometimes we have the wrong attitude about prayer and we focus it on ourselves rather than on having an incense that rises up to please You. Father, we pray that we would come in humility and dependence and faith. We would come with our hearts as pure as we can have them, confessing our sin before You. And Father, we just come and we adore You for who You are. We pray that You would work in our midst. We pray, Father, that that fire that our brother prayed about would burn in every heart. Every heart in this room, Father, but every heart in this local assembly, every heart of every believer in Guilford County, in the state of North Carolina, in the world. And Father, may that burning of our hearts light, as it were, the prayer life, that our prayers would rise and would be mixed with the sweet perfume with which Your Son adds to them. And Father, that we might see great things happen in our own lives, Father, in our own hearts, as well as in our assembly and in our nation and in the world. Father, as we commit ourselves to You in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. May the Lord bless you as you pray.